Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Great to see you all. Well, we have finally come to the end of our little apocalypse in Matthew. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew have been called the little apocalypse. We have survived the apocalypse. Congratulations, everyone. And here at the very end, on the feast day of Christ the King, that is today, everyone, we're given more insight into the hopes of the King of all kings. We're presented with two groups, essentially. One group wants to challenge Jesus and say, where did we see you hungry? And the other group is oblivious to their own good works. They're asking the same question, but from totally different places. One group is avoiding the work of the kingdom by constantly debating and considering, while the other group is simply doing. I wonder about this sometimes in the Episcopal Church. And when I wonder about this, I become terribly sad. Now, I know it's best to reason things out and to come to an approach that's going to be the most effective. But we can sometimes kill kindness in a committee. So much time is spent in our church reasoning things out, all the while knowing that people are hungry, that people are suffering. And in that way, we can fail sometimes to live into our greatest Christian virtue, mercy. So in Latin, the term for mercy is misericordia. I'm sure if I were Italian, I'd pronounce that properly. Now, we mostly can see this term all over the place. If you go into a church, you'll see it printed in certain places. We see it in Christian art. We see it in Christian writings. We think, well, first of all, if you break that word apart into its various Latin pieces, the different pieces are the terms for pity and the terms for heart, connecting your feeling of pity with your heart. Now, when we think of this term misery, usually, I'd say, only meaning like deeply sad, right? I am in misery. But in the Christian context, it means feeling compassion for another person. It's a Christian virtue. One reason I still like the word, even in the modern usage for misery, is because it asks us to feel something. We are invited to consider the plight of another and feel miserable. This is what I think Dr. King means when he talks about none of us being free until all of us are free. He seems to have a deep understanding of mercy, a deep understanding of misericordia, of being miserable. How can I look upon the suffering of another and not feel miserable? How can I look upon the suffering of another and be happy? How can I be responsible for the suffering of another and be okay? So in this sense, it's true that until we are all okay, none of us is okay. Jesus says this very thing to that second group who challenges him with that question, where did we see you hungry? So he tells the challengers in this story to open their eyes and see the suffering and to make it their own. Not just some abstract idea, but if they are suffering, you are suffering. The pain of the sick, the dying, victims of racism, homophobia, neglect, abuse, all sorts of conditions that we still find in our society today. This pain together. These problems are all of our problems. One inspirational person in our church, the Episcopal Church, who is showing mercy is a woman by the name of Rebecca Stevens. You may have heard of her. Reverend Rebecca Becca Stevens, as she's known, is an author, speaker, Episcopal priest, social entrepreneur, and the founder and president of a company called Thistle Farms, based in Nashville, Tennessee. She is notable for founding Magdalene all the way back in 1997, and that now is called Thistle Farms. Is an organization that serves to heal, empower, and employ female survivors of human trafficking, prostitution, and addiction. If you go out to Camp Washington here in our diocese, you will see products that are made and sold by Thistle Farms for you to purchase at the office so that you can support Thistle Farms in this ministry. Jasmine Rogue is an example of one of the 40 offshoots of Thistle Farms ministry. It has a residential home, a restaurant, a jewelry store, and candle workshop as some aspects of the ministry that they do out of this particular place in South Carolina, this ministry in South Carolina in the Episcopal Church. Their website describes the ministry like this. Jasmine Road is South Carolina's first two-year residential program for adult women survivors of human trafficking, prostitution, and addiction. The organization joins more than 40 Thistle Farms sister communities around the country and serves to heal, empower, and employ local women survivors in our community. Showing mercy. Here at St. Mark's, we're about to show mercy today, right? We're doing the Walk for One, sponsored by Wayne. And I hear stories of individuals in our church all the time who make it their business, who regularly give of themselves without hesitation to help those in need. Many of us, I know, at our church have chosen career paths which, by their very nature, are ways to serve and be merciful. We might wonder as we enter into the season of Advent, together as a community, where else we are called to serve God's children as a parish. Maybe we need our own version of a Thistle Farms. It's easy to get caught up in these passages from Matthew that we read today and wonder about if we might be the sheep, or if we're the goats. We might wonder if we are or we aren't doing enough. We might wonder if we're going to fall victim to God's judgment. In a sense, the answer to all of these questions is yes. We're human, and we can always do more. We can always do more, and we are Christians who have chosen a particular path in life, which is kind and merciful. But overthinking these ideas can make us fall into a state of inaction. I like to think of this in terms of what's called negative space drawing. Maybe, in order to get out of one class in college, you took an art class, or maybe you really genuinely enjoy art. And they taught you how to do negative space drawing. It's like this. If you were to take something like a folding chair, or maybe one of these chairs that we have in front of church, and you did not draw the chair, but you drew all the spaces in between the parts of the chair, by drawing all the negative space, you will obviously draw the chair. So your focus is not on drawing a perfect chair, but drawing all the spaces in between. Perhaps acting mercifully is a bit like this. If we focus on the spaces in between, the people who have fallen through the crack, if you will, something take shape naturally. Without being like the man in the gospel who always questions things, we could be merciful by tending to the spaces that have been forgotten. The emptiness. Having confidence that at the end of the day, we will actually be able to therefore make the chair. We can fret over perfection, about making enough chairs, or we can get about the work of the kingdom. Will we kill kindness in a committee, or imitate the great shepherd of the sheep? What happens when we stop worrying about making the perfect folding chair and wonder about those forgotten spaces in between? The shape of our neighborhood changes. The shape of our society changes. And this is what Scripture refers to as justice. We read about justice today in our reading from Ezekiel. We get this connection, really, in that passage where it's all summed up in verse 16, where Ezekiel talks about how delivering care is justice. It says, I will feed them with justice. I will feed them with justice. Justice and care are kept in balance, as if they were two sides of the same coin. Which I think is particularly interesting here on the day of the feast of Christ the King. So using the shepherd metaphor in the preface of his law code. Do you guys know about Hammurabi's code? Look it up later if you never checked it out. Hammurabi explains that he was anointed by the gods to promote the welfare of the people, to cause justice to prevail in the land, to destroy the wicked and the evil, that the strong might not oppress the weak. It's not in the Bible. Hammurabi's code. What the shepherd metaphor emphasizes in Ezekiel, in Matthew's gospel, and even in other writers such as Hammurabi's code, is the ruler's responsibility to establish justice so that the people may flourish. Ezekiel believed that forgetting about justice, forgetting about showing mercy throughout all of society, particularly by the most powerful, led them to the Babylonian exile. He believes it was the downfall of their society. But both Ezekiel and Jesus believe that when we all show mercy, it is the joy of a strong society. On the occasion here of Christ the King, which we celebrate today, we are given two sides of one coin, and I wonder if we see in this perfect form of a king what it truly is to be the Good Shepherd. A king one might be proud to serve and to imitate. There is mercy on a personal level, the idea of misericordia. And the sister of mercy, which is justice, the application of mercy in society. Perhaps we consider Christ the King of all kings because we see in Jesus the perfect union of justice and mercy. We see in Jesus the model of a good shepherd who is able to care for the well-being of each and every single sheep by also caring for the flock. And then, vice versa. Both at the same time, one and the same, simultaneously. He is willing to leave the 99 in search of the one, and because of this, the flock lives in confidence, knowing that one day each of them will be that one. And so they can live in peace. You know, earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is speaking with his disciples, and he explains that the leaders of the Gentiles lord it over them. But it is not to be so with the disciples, and therefore us, modern-day disciples of Jesus Christ. Instead, the last among them will be first. And that is what we see in the gospel today, a way of life which crowns the one who is humble and merciful, a way of life which, when lived by an entire society, brings about a state of justice in all of society, a way of life where each looks after the other and no one is satisfied until everyone is content. This is the kingdom that we are all invited into. This is the law of the land in the kingdom of God. This is how each and every one of us receives a crown of glory. A crown of glory that will never fade. Amen.